organize and work with your children every Sunday. There's a lot of kids to take care of, and it's a big choir, and it's a blessing to us as well. So with that, I'm going to have you turn in Scripture here this morning. Day three of creation, part one. Now notice that, so I could not get this message into two sermons, because we'd be here way too long, so it's going to be two parts, day three. So I'm going to give you Genesis 1, 9 through 13 is day three. I'm going to read that in its entirety, but we're only going to study the first couple verses this morning, verse 9 and 10, and then 11 through 13 will be next week, and so I'm going to divide it into two parts. So this morning, we're going to talk about where God called the waters back and the dry land appeared. Next week, we're going to talk about plants and everything that goes with that, and the different kinds. So, let's get started. Genesis 1, verses 9 through 13. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced the vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And then if you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 104, and we're going to read verses 5 through 9. Pay attention now. What I want you to do, you'll understand that's more my message this morning, but what I want you to get from this is I want you to think about day three of creation. I want you to think about the flood, okay? So you got that in mind when that went on, and we get to Genesis 7 through 9 and Noah and stuff like that. Now, I'm going to read some things to you, and then this will come together in my message this morning. So here, listen to what goes on here. "He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may these words be your words today. I pray that for those that have gathered here, those that are listening online with us this morning, Lord, that you bless them with your spirit. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching today. Lord, I pray that these words are yours. They're not mine. May you fill me with that same spirit, Lord, as I bring your message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you enjoy going to the mountains? Or the Black Hills? Anybody enjoy getting out into a different area than corn and soybeans, as my boys always say? Like to see something different. Does anybody know what mountain that I have up here this morning? Yep, very good, Mount Everest. Well, let's talk about that mountain just a little bit this morning. It is the tallest mountain in the world. It stands 29,035 feet tall. If you do the math on that, that's not quite 6 miles tall above sea level is what we're dealing with here this morning. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about day three, especially in Psalm 104, as I start to bring that together this morning. All right? Now, the height of this mountain, it intrigues people. People love to come here. They love to see it. Some love to climb it. And let me give you some numbers. Roughly 35,000 people a year go to see Mount Everest as visitors. And then you take another number that's in there, about 700 to 800 of those people, they try to climb that mountain. Now, not everybody's made it to the peak. Since the recording of this, roughly about 5,294 people, that's from, I think, 2019, so you can add a few more to that, have made it to the peak or the summit of this mountain. Now, with that in mind, I want you to think about day three of creation, all right? He commanded the land to rise up out of the water. And he commanded the plants to be brought forth, which we'll discuss more of next week. And so I have 3 points that I want to share with you this morning about the land, about the seas being parted on day 3 of creation. So if you have your notebook with you, or excuse me, your outline with you, please follow along and fill in. I'm going to add some verses to that as well, again, this morning that you're going to be a part of. But let's look at this first verse, Genesis 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Point number one this morning that I'm going to share with you is that there is the theory of one continent that God created. And you can see a picture on that. If you were in science class, what did they call that when you studied that, people? Pangea. Correct. All right? Now remember, I'm sharing with you a theory. All right? And we're going to get more into this theory when we get into Genesis 7 through 9 about how God possibly broke up and made the continents that we have today. We'll get there, but you need to be patient with me. But hear this out. On day 3, the theory is that there could have been one continent that God created. So many, when I say creation scientists, I'm talking about Christian scientists that have studied this and looked at this. And they've kind of come to some theories that this is a very real possibility that this happened, that God created one continent, and then, of course, it moved after that, and we'll study that later. But if there is one continent, and I'm going to get you to think out of the box a little bit here this morning, something significant had to happen to break up this landmass. Because we know what the world looks like today. We know where Australia is at. We know where the United States is at, and Europe and Africa, and all those different continents. Something had to occur in that time frame between creation and the flood, or shortly after that, that moved these pieces around. All right? And we serve a mighty God. And it is believed that that event that broke up this landmass was the flood event in Noah's day that moved the pieces that you and I are so familiar with today. And so we'll discuss more of that in Genesis 9. But also notice in verse 10 that God said, "And the waters that were gathered together he called seas." Now notice land is singular, one, if you read your Bible. But then it goes to seas and then it's plural. So how many of you are familiar? How many of you have been on the east and the west coast? Right? Some of you have oceans, right? You got the Atlantic Ocean and you got the Pacific Ocean. But if you look at the world, do they run together? Or is it pretty much one body of water that's connected throughout the world with just pieces of land masses here and there? What is your thought on that? Give me some feedback. Yes, they are. And so when God created the land, and then he said the seas around it, it could have very well that God said that this was this sea on the north side, it was this sea on the south side, it was this sea on the west side, it was this sea on the east side. And that's very possible that when God created the one landmass, that's what it looked like. And so he called them seas. So day 3 of creation, God referenced seas, plural, as different bodies of water. But yet land, we have one singular word that he uses on the day of creation. And that's where these creation scientists get the idea that there was one landmass that God first created. Now here's point number 2 that I want to share with you this morning. What was the land surface like when it was first made? And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to take the long way around with you this morning because I want to bring some things into your mind that you can think about. Were there high mountains like Mount Everest that we have today? Were the Rocky Mountains there? Were the Black Hills there on day 3 of creation? Were the oceans as deep as they are today? So then how do we understand Genesis 7 verse 19 when it says this? And I think I have it on the screen in the red box for you this morning. "And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered." How tall did I say Mount Everest was? 6 miles. All right? Now, we have some pretty smart people in the world that you and I live in today. Creation scientists, they took all the water in the world, the masses, the volumes, whatever it is, they figured that all out. And if you leveled the whole entire surface of the land mass that we encounter today, so I'm talking about the mountains, make those level and bring up the valleys and everything's level, we have enough water on our earth to cover 2 miles of depth, the entire earth. That's what we have. So if you look at Mount Everest, how tall did I say it was? How much water do we have on the earth to cover it entirety? How much difference do we have? So what's going on? You ever thought about that? So I'm going to answer that for you biblically this morning, that you can go into your circles of friends, even non-Christians, and you can have a little bit of knowledge of what did this look like? What happened in creation that these things occurred? Because what I'm going to share with you this morning is that Genesis 7 verse 19 is very much true. And I'm going to tell you what that looks like here. So this means that the high mountains and the deep oceans were formed sometime during or after the flood. Are you with me yet this morning? How many of you, this is the first time you've ever heard that? You can raise your hand, that's okay. Because I learned some things this past week about this as well here this morning and what that looks like. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, I think I got a slide. Oh, here we go. I got it on the screen for you. Now, knowing what I just told you, this is out of the Psalms right here, okay? David would have wrote this. This is after the flood. Now notice what day 3 might have looked like, and then the flood occurred, and then David says these words about who God is and what he did during or after the flood with the earth. Pay attention closely. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep, now that's water, right? The deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Above is what it says. At your rebuke, they fled, meaning that they left. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, right? The mountains came up. The valleys sank down to their place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass so that they may not again cover the earth. Does anybody know how deep the ocean is today at its deepest point? 7 miles. All right? The mountains came up. What's the tallest mountain? Mount Everest. I'm glad that you guys got that down now. All right? Do you see the difference? What God's doing here is that after the flood, he had to get rid of the water, and he commanded mountains rise up, ocean valleys spread out, and the water that covered the earth, I'm assuming a couple miles deep and so on, that ran off the dry land into the oceans, into the depths of the oceans, the valleys of the oceans. The mountains rose up. We have the Rocky Mountains, and we have the Black Hills, and we have Mount Everest that's tall. All right, are you with me yet of what's going on here? Let me go a little farther with you this morning. So David's telling us that these verses, that after the flood, that God raised up the mountains and then sunk the ocean floor so the water could run off. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Do you think that the Grand Canyon could have been formed in that period? Possibly could have. Who says that it was done millions of years ago? Some crazy scientists that don't believe in this flood story, that don't have faith in a mighty God to creation. It's possible that the Grand Canyon became about in that time period. Could this explain why scientists have found marine fossils on the tops of mountains? And by the way, even the Himalayas, the tallest mountain range in the world. That would explain why they found marine fossils on the top of there, wouldn't it? If they were lower at the time and everything covered the earth, and then God raised them up after the flood, it would answer that question, wouldn't it? And today we know the depths of the oceans and we know the heights of some of the tallest peaks in the world. And then David goes on to speak verse 9. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. That comes out of Genesis 9 verse 11. And that correlates with verse 9, doesn't it? You set a boundary that they may not pass so that they may not again cover the earth. It talks about the water that God pushed away and the dry land appeared. Now, we still haven't answered our question, have we? What was the land surface like on day 3? Knowing what you know now will help us answer that question. The words high mountains can be translated as hills, which is a much better word in the Bible, by the way. There were probably hills, valleys, meadows, rivers, and lakes flowing and fresh water to support life. Now, why do you think that there would be hills and valleys and fresh water flowing? And of course, next week we're going to get into green plants. Some are already mature and so on, but I'll say that for next week. Because on day 6, God created land animals. What do you know about a land animal? What do they need to survive? Jacob's on that one, right? Fresh water. They need grass to eat. They need plants to eat. And we see that. And so I think day 3 was God's perfection. We talk about the Garden of Eden, how perfect it was. But I think day 3 would be this perfect picture of an earth with rolling hills and streams and plants and just beauty all over the place. And what you and I see today is still beautiful, but covered with sin because of the flood. Things have been rearranged. Things weren't the norm, I don't believe, that the way God created on day 3. I truly believe that. But someday, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we get to be a part of that new heaven and that new earth. That should be exciting to see. Of that perfection, of that beauty. I look forward to that day. Meadows and streams and water flowing. The perfection from God's hand. And so today we have a much more rugged earth. A much more deeply affected earth by sin that you and I live in. The depths of the oceans. And the tallness of the mountains, the ruggedness of the land that you and I live in today. Point number 3. You're going to think, boy, when I bring this out, Rob, he has lost it. All right? Now hang with me here. Is the earth round or flat? Now I'm going to tell you it's round right from the get-go, okay? So you guys don't think I'm on the crazy train. All right? But here's what I want you to think about. I want to be able to answer that with you biblically. From a biblical perspective, how did God create the earth? That's what I want you to know about. And I'm going to show you where that's at in Scripture. Okay? Now, how many of you remember back in grade school when Christopher Columbus was going to leave Europe and he's going to sail across to the Americas? And some people were worried that the earth was flat and what was going to happen to them? Yeah, they're going to slide right off the end, right? Remember that crazy story that they had back then that we learned in school? And so I want you to think about this in a little different way this morning. All right? Now, we know that the earth is a sphere because we've seen it from outer space. We have pictures of it, and we get that, and we know that, and so we understand that. But here's what you and I need to know, is I want to share 2 verses with you that prove that the earth was made in a sphere long before Christopher Columbus was even around. All right? And here's the 2 verses I want you to look at. Proverbs 8, verse 27 says this. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. What's a circle? It's round, right? It's not flat. It can also, in your Bible, you might find some versions that will call it a compass. Okay? So don't get confused about that. Some versions will say compass. Here's another verse, Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Once again, we have this word, circle, all right? Now, if you translate that and you get the Hebrew out, the circle can mean a sphere. Now, how wise do you think it would have been that if people would have believed the Bible a couple thousand years ago, we would not have gotten this crazy idea that the earth is flat? Because God told us. You see it? Do you get it? So here's your take home today. This is what I want you to leave with. The Bible has the answers we need to understand this world. But you need to know your Bible to help you understand this world that you and I live in. There are so many people today that don't know the Bible, that don't understand this world, and they think they get all the knowledge they need to be able to tell you how it is. But they miss the point of how God created and what that looks like today. So my hope is that today, that this message will deepen your faith and it's given you a lasting hope in our Creator God. And I hope that you have a deeper understanding of day 3 of creation, of the land piece today. I mean, I sent you home with some different things to think about today of what's going on and how God created and how things changed over time. You need to realize that you serve an awesome, powerful God who creates by what? Speaking. Speaking to you and I. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise for your awesomeness today. Lord, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, who did not only help create, but also came to this earth, walked it, Lord, and went to the cross for our sins. Lord, help us to understand your creation. Lord, you've given us scripture, Lord, to read and to understand and to know your ways. Lord, we think of the Psalms that David wrote about your creation. Lord, we think of in the book of Isaiah and Proverbs of the verses that speak of a circle or a sphere. Lord, may we not just glaze over those verses, but may they give us depth in our faith walk with you. Lord, we pray for wisdom today in this world. And Lord, may our Bible knowledge continue to grow. In Jesus I pray, amen. I'm going to invite our deacons to come forward at this time for giving of tithes and offerings this morning. Oh, we're going to sing a